Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, nothing is certain in sports these days. And what is certain, though, Megan Hart's with us. WPR sports reporter Megan Hart back with us to talk about the latest developments in sports across Wisconsin. And certainly love to have you join the conversation. What questions you have about the Packer season? What are you looking forward to with the Badger season? Football starting later this month, basketball after that. What do you miss most of all of the changes in Wisconsin sports? I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Megan Hart, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting year for covering sports. How's everything going for you?
Yeah, it certainly has. It has been a very busy couple of months, and sports have returned. And of course, I also cover local news here in Green Bay. Actually, in fact, there was some breaking sports news this morning while I was out covering a nice story in Green Bay about we finished replacing all of our lead pipes in the city. So it's just a lot going on between news related to the coronavirus, news related to the election, and of course, sports as well.
Well, you know, the Packers played last night. I watched a good share of the game. Did you watch the game?
I did. It was a lot of fun to see, I think, to see Aaron Rodgers playing like that and to see him smiling. And when he's playing well, there's nothing better than watching him play.
Yeah, it was an amazing 30-16, I think, win over mm-hmm. the Falcons. And it's such a different look for the team this year. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think it's a different look, I think, in a few ways. Of course, it's very strange to be here in Green Bay without having sort of a regular football season with fans at Lambeau Field, without a lot of sort of pomp surrounding Monday Night Football here in town. It's a different look in that, you know, every week the team finds a different way to win and win pretty dominantly. Whether, you know, the first game of the season, having Devontae Adams play so well at wide receiver, figuring out ways to still succeed on offense when he's out. I think we've really seen this year a lot of collaboration between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, and they're just so far have proven to be a great duo.
Yeah, so between Devontae Adams and then Alan Lazard going down, I was wondering how they were going to do it last night, but they certainly got some other people involved at the tight end level, and then Jamal Williams catching passes. Well, I wondered who was going to catch a pass before the game started, and it turned out that there were a lot of people that can play in this system.
Yeah, their three top receivers last night were two running backs and a tight end, which is pretty unusual, especially when a team is going to score 30 points. Of course, Atlanta is not having a great year. They're 0-4. Their defense is pretty beat up, especially their secondary. So it's not surprising that the Packers tried to attack in the air. But it was a lot of fun to see them find a way to win through being aggressive and creative play calling. And also, you know, after the game, Matt LaFleur during his press conference said it was really special. It's always nice when you see somebody who's put in a lot of work, see all of that work sort of come to fruition and for them to get to have a special moment. And I think that's what it was for Robert Tonyan, who had two touchdown catches in his career before this season. He had three last night.
Yeah, it was amazing. And he was wide open, it seemed like, every time.
It was just amazing. It really seemed like they made it look pretty easy. And, you know, of course, any team that's playing in the NFL is playing at a high level, but against the Falcons, perhaps it was, you know, a little easier than it would be against most teams.
Well, they make it look easy. I thought, I could have thrown that pass. You know, it was wide open. Oh, my goodness me. Well, you know, what are the players saying about not having fans in the stadiums?
Really across sports, I think players have said it's different, but they are so professional that they and they understand they're all working with, aside from the NFL where some stadiums are having fans now. But they're, you know, when the Packers play the Falcons at Lambeau Field, both teams are playing in the same conditions with no fans. So, you know, I think that they all understand it's what they have to be doing now, but it really looked weird last night during Monday Night Football. I think it looks stranger at Lambeau Field than at some of the other stadiums, honestly.
I wonder if any fans try to sneak in or at least set up a little grill going before the game and so forth right there by the stadium. Has that happened, you know?
I don't know. You know, I live about 20 minutes away from Lambeau Field, and I thought about going over there, but then I was like, I'll miss too much of the game. So I did not check it out, although I know the local news here has reported on, the bars and restaurants, although they certainly are not necessarily seeing the same business they would during a normal season, they are still seeing people there watching the games. And we still don't really know what's going to happen as far as fans at Lambeau Field. This weekend, the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy said they're still figuring out what they're going to do November 1st when the team is back in Green Bay, and it will come down largely to advice from medical professionals.
Yeah, I would expect. Let's turn to another sport, NASCAR. NASCAR announced its return to Wisconsin. They announced it last week with the July 4th, I think, 2020 series race again at Road America.
Yeah, big news. Sheboygan, you know, of course, it's so hard to say what next year will look like as far as, you know, whether fans can attend things, whether events will be able to take place. There's still a lot of unknowns. But if things do go according to plan, Sheboygan's going to have a really big year next year because they will again have a top-tier IndyCar race. And then right after that, they follow it up with their first NASCAR Cup Series race, the first one that the state of Wisconsin has hosted since 1956 when they were last at Road America. So that should be a really big weekend. And Road America has been working for years to bring NASCAR back to the state. They spent a lot of time doing upgrades to their facility, eventually attracting NASCAR's Xfinity Series, which is sort of their second tier of racing. And they've been racing at Road America for about 10 years, I think. And then next year, they're going to have the Cup Series on their calendar. So it's and that all happens right before the Ryder Cup is scheduled to happen in Sheboygan. So a very exciting year for residents in that area of the state and also for NASCAR fans in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and for the businesses in that area are going to surely do very well with the Ryder Cup as well.
Definitely. They estimated this year that it was supposed to bring $135 million in spending to the state. So, even if they can have some version of that next year, it should really help businesses coming out of this this difficult time.
Yeah. One of the nice things that the Pro Golf Tour does is involve local businesses in some of the merchandising. I know a friend who has a business makes pottery, and the pottery that she had when the last time there was a big golf event in Wisconsin, that she was able to sell her mugs and so forth with a of course golf themed, but she wasn't the only one. There were several that were able to do that. And I think it's kind of one of the other nice things. A lot of money goes to, causes. And also at the same time, several businesses get a chance to participate.
Yeah, that's awesome. That I have not had the pleasure of attending a major championship in golf. I've gone to the Players when I lived down in Florida, and it is quite an event. And it would be nice to have that kind of souvenir. And I know in Sheboygan, when I was working on a story about the Ryder Cup, I was looking into Airbnbs in the area, and it looks like local homeowners are another group who will really benefit from the Ryder Cup coming. I saw some houses that one apartment in Sheboygan, I think it was maybe a one-bedroom apartment that typically is rented for $72 a night, that they've set that for $500 a night during the Ryder Cup next year. There's another house near Road America that was usually $575 a night, that was is marked up to $2,000 a night. And the crazy thing is that, you know, the people who rent those are still getting a deal because they get to come enjoy the Ryder Cup and, you know, a nice accommodation. And so it really benefits the local economy a lot.
Oh, it surely does. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and I've got lots that I want to talk about with you, but there's been a more public shift, I think, in sports teams and players taking up political issues. Most recently, maybe you could talk about the voting initiatives spearheaded by Wisconsin teams.
There certainly has. I think especially since sports came back after the break for the pandemic earlier this year, that has really been a focus. And I think the Bucks have very much been at the forefront of that. Of course, they chose to sit out a playoff game to protest the police shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha. And that really brought everything even more into focus as to what teams are doing to fight for social justice. And part of that, a big part of what players have been pushing for, is getting out the vote. Actually, this morning, in Milwaukee, Miller Park and Fiserv Forum were supposed to serve as early voting sites. Unfortunately, this morning, the City of Milwaukee Elections Commission determined that they won't be able to use them over legal concerns. So that's a story that we're following today. But teams are still really, you know, they're making a big effort to get people out and to get them registered. The Bucks held a voter registration drive last weekend in partnership with When We All Vote, which is a program created by Michelle Obama. And they registered voters, and they also gave out food items. As we know, it's a really difficult time financially for so many families during the pandemic. Miller Park also hosted a voter registration drive. And I believe the plan here in Green Bay is to have the Johnsonville Tailgate Village at Lambeau Field serve as a polling site on Election Day.
So lots going on in that area. And there's been some grumbling about it from some people, but I think an organization like When We All Vote, or getting people out to vote regardless of how you're going to vote, is a good thing for everybody.
Yeah, there has been, of course, now with the change to Miller Park and Fiserv Forum as early voting sites, this isn't as significant, but there was some back and forth. Apparently, the state Republican Party had sent a letter to election officials in Milwaukee saying it would be electioneering to have the mascot from the Brewers or the Bucks or the Racing Sausages at polling places. So that's not necessarily something you would think that you would be talking about, whether the Racing Sausages would be influencing the election, but it is the times we live in.
The times we live in, and we're living in these times with Megan Hart, who's our guest today, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She'll be with us till 12:30. Join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Or shoot us an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back after this look at the news. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Megan Hart with us as well today, Wisconsin Public Radio sports reporter. Always great to have her stop by, and love to hear from you. What do you think about all the different approaches to Wisconsin sports? What's going on with them? How do you think all the major teams are handling competing opinions and priorities? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Megan, we have an email from Susan in La Crosse wondering how will these 2020 seasons be counted in the record books?
That's a great question. And also one I think we'll have to wait and see. I know players across sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo said it before the Bucks restarted their season. I think some of the Lightning players who just recently won the Stanley Cup said it after they had that achievement. But they all said that this, in their respective sports, may be the hardest championship you could ever win because they're playing under such strange conditions, some of them in bubbles away from their families and away from sort of their regular routines. Some of them, you know, having to adjust how they're doing their training. So we may look back at it, especially a season like the Major League Baseball season that was so truncated, with an asterisk. But I think that players and coaches seem to agree that the conditions have made it really challenging for them to stay focused on sports this year. So we'll see. I think that, you know, if the Packers win the Super Bowl this year, I think Green Bay will celebrate as though and treat it as though it's as significant of as achievement as any other Super Bowl.
I agree with you on that one. Bev emailed. She's been told that the Black Lives Matter movement has had a negative effect on the NBA and the NFL in terms of fans or so forth. Can you comment on that?
You know, I have read similar analysis. I think it kind of depends how you look at it. There are sports competing with each other this year that would never have happened before, but just the way that the seasons have all sort of converged at the same time, I think that's probably affected ratings. And then I know, for example, one of the recent basketball games, one of the recent finals games, it was the lowest watched finals game in quite some time. I don't remember exactly how long, but it was played the same night that the president was diagnosed with coronavirus, I believe. And so it was, or that he was hospitalized. And so it, I know it was competing a lot with news as well, of a lot of people turning their focus away from sports with so much else going on in the world. So I'm not sure we can say definitively that it has to do with the social justice movement in sports, but it is possible. And I'm sure it's something people will look at very closely. Yeah, during these off seasons.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was really kind of at times you had like a smorgasbord of games of different sports going on at the same time or overlapping, and that's a good point you made about the sort of diluting effect of having so many pro sports going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's been a lot, and certainly as a fan, really enjoyable. I would say, you know, as a reporter, that yeah, there are times where it's a little challenging to watch everything at once. And now that the Bucks season and the Brewers seasons are over, it slows down a little bit. Unfortunately, it looks like the Packers are off to a great start, and it looks like they're going to have a strong season. So that'll be fun to focus on a little bit more closely. But even the way that the golf schedule has shifted and the tennis schedule has shifted with the French Open going on right now, it is, like you said, a smorgasbord for sports fans.
Yeah, it really, really is. I'm thinking about the Masters tournament being played, the golf tournament being played in November.
Yeah, that will be really interesting to see what it looks like in November, and if it looks as beautiful and manicured as it normally does.
I wonder about the trees. They won't be flowering like they normally do, are at this time, at the normal time of the year. Well, lots to yet to talk about here. I know college teams have been struggling with how to play. The Badgers, they're getting ready for their football season opener later this month. I think it's October 24th. They play Illinois. But it's going to look different, isn't it?
It will, yeah. I mean, teams in college, it's a challenge to, I think, for fans in the sense that the leagues are all kind of taking their own approaches. And so, and I'm sure that will make it challenging for the playoff selection committee eventually to compare teams from different conferences. So what we see from the Big Ten is likely to look a bit different than what we've seen so far. But again, like I said about the Packers, it'll look different, in that there won't be a lot of fans there. The Badgers have said that they'll have about 1,500 people at games, and that will be the family of players and coaches and staff and some visiting parents as well. There won't be tailgating. So, those kind of like iconic images we associate with college football in particular will definitely be different this year. But then the team is also going to look really different because when you lose a player like Jonathan Taylor in particular, in addition to the other players who have graduated or gone to the NFL, it is really going to change the dynamic of that offense, because Jonathan Taylor is one of the greatest running backs in the history of college football.
Yeah, and now the starting quarterback, Jack Cohn, has injured his foot.
Coach had
a press conference on it yesterday.
He did. Paul Chryst yesterday said that that Jack Cohn was going to go see a specialist this week, so they should have some more information soon. He did not want to answer. He was asked if he's viewing this as an injury that could keep him out for the opening game or for the season, and Paul Chryst declined to speculate on that. So the severity of the injury is kind of up in the air. But I think he did say that it was not an injury caused by contact. It was when he was dropping back. So we'll see what happens when there's more information from the doctors. But I think the good news is that Graham Mertz is the backup. He's been taking snaps with the starters. And he's a redshirt freshman, but highly recruited by schools like Alabama and Clemson. So I think there was already some talk going into the season of Mertz might see some more playing time. And so I think now, Chryst will really get a chance to see what he can do.
Yeah, it's a perennial thing, I think, with Wisconsin football. There's always that backup quarterback that people want to play in place of the starting quarterback. That seems to happen every year, but I think it's even more so with somebody the caliber of Graham Mertz.
Yeah, Mertz has such a great resume, but, Cohn, you can't really discount what he's done, took the team to the Rose Bowl last year. He had, I think, the second highest rating of any Badgers quarterback, single season passer rating, since the only one who finished with a higher rating was Russell Wilson, who of course now is having an amazing season with the Seahawks, who I think maybe rival the Packers as the top team in the NFC. So Cohn has had a great career at Wisconsin, and hopefully he'll be back and healthy soon.
Yeah. Nevertheless, the football program, the sports program at Wisconsin is going to lose a lot of money. I mean, at first, I think they said $100 million, they thought, and now with the games coming on, it's something, maybe $60
million? Yeah, they did. I think that was the most, the estimate that I heard, if they were able to play, but not to play in front of a full crowd, because so much money in college football does, they make money, of course, from television contracts, but compared to the NFL, a lot more money comes in from the gate and from concessions and from sponsorships and things like that. So it is a big challenge for athletic department, of course, the athletic department in Madison, but across the country. And the Big Ten was able, after a lot of back and forth, to bring football back, and football at a school like Wisconsin does so much to finance the other sports. Hopefully, it will help the athletic department that they found a way to hopefully make it work this season. But it is still a big challenge.
Yeah, they'll lose $40 million less than they would have lost, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned Russell Wilson, and that got me thinking about Wisconsin athletes who are making a big dent in playing. I mean, there are a lot of Wisconsin players are playing elsewhere. I've been thinking about not only Wilson, but Jimmy Butler. He went to Marquette. And Tyler Harrell is also from the Milwaukee area. How are they playing? Yeah, talk about them.
The Heat are in the finals, of course, against the Lakers. Lakers leading 2-1, and they play tonight. And it was always going to be a tough tough task to beat this Lakers team led by LeBron James, but Jimmy Butler from Marquette had an amazing game in game three. He had 40 points, had a triple-double, and I think, of course, Bucks fans probably remember him for also scoring something like 40 points against the Bucks in game one of their playoff series a few weeks ago. So he's just been outstanding these playoffs, and his teammate, Jay Crowder, who was also his teammate at Marquette, said after their most recent game that Jimmy Butler just always finds, you know, he's always the guy that you go to when you need something to happen. He finds a way to get it done. And so they've been together a long time playing in these big high pressure situations. So it's nice for Marquette fans to see their success. And then of course Miami has Tyler Hero, who is from the Milwaukee area. He's 20 years old. But averaging more than 16 points per game in 34 minutes for the Heat this postseason. So he has made quite a contribution. And he had, at the end of game three, he had a really a moment that has taken the internet by storm, because he's a young guy and he did this like snarl face after he made a layup at the end of the game. And it's just been all over Twitter and everywhere. And so I think, you know, he's a Wisconsin sports figure that people will really know after these finals.
Oh, man. Well, another finals, the Stanley Cup playoffs. We had the Stars, Joe Pavelski. Pavelski broke a record.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
It was, I have to.
Scoring. It was goal scoring. I think he scored like 13 goals in the playoffs.
Yeah, he had an amazing playoffs. The Stars really had a great run. I should preface it by saying that I am from the Tampa Bay area. So
the Lightning, that's so good.
Yeah, but Pavelski made it. He certainly made it competitive and made it stressful. In game four, the Lightning were winning in the third period, and Joe Pavelski scored to tie the game at 2-2 and send it to overtime. And the Stars ended up winning that game. So that was very stressful. But it was his 61st playoff goal, which is the most by any U.S.-born NHL player in history. So he's sometimes called Captain America, and I think now we can see why, because he has had such an impact on the game during his career. He's now 36, same age as Aaron Rodgers, but he's originally from Plover, and he's had such a successful NHL career with the San Jose Sharks and the Stars, and he also played for the Badgers. And speaking of which, tonight is the NHL draft, the first round, and Dylan Holloway from the Badgers is expected to be taken in the first round. So he just had 8 goals last year for Wisconsin. It was his first season, but he had a great juniors career. So it'll be exciting to have another Badger in the NHL.
Yeah, there are a lot of Badgers in the NHL. I remember watching an All-Star game one year where the goalie for both sides were both former goalies for the Badgers, which was, I'm thinking, wow, talk about productive. Man, oh, man. Well, and Pavelski also had the most goals scored in a playoff year by anyone 34 years of age or older. So he passed Maurice Richard for that.
Oh, wow.
For that as well. So he's had himself quite a year and quite a season. Well, I don't want to go away without talking about the Brewers, my Brewers, who I love watching and talking about. A little recap on them.
Yeah, so the Brewers, they became the first team in Major League Baseball history to make the playoffs with a losing record. I think it was the Astros who did it just shortly after the Brewers did. But, of course, this year, with the pandemic and the expanded playoffs, it was bound to be a strange year. And so the Brewers kind of stumbled their way into the playoffs. But it is, I think it is quite an achievement, because it has been a really hard year for players and for teams. And you go into the season, if you're a GM, thinking you're going to play 162 games, and that's what you build your team around. And of course, they didn't get that this year. So I think it was still quite an accomplishment that they made the postseason for their third year in a row, which is a franchise record. But coming in as the eighth seed, they were stuck playing the Dodgers, who had the best record in baseball and who, of course, had a great season. And, you know, they lost game one 4-2, but they stayed in it the whole way. They lost game two 3-0, and it was a best of three series. So that knocked them out. But I think that they seem to have the same problem they had all season, which was difficulty scoring, but at least they kept those games pretty exciting. But unfortunately, it was the end of the season for them, losing out to the Dodgers.
Their offense was awful. I think they were last in the NFL, or in the National League, excuse me, in almost every statistical category.
Yeah, their 223 batting average was their worst in franchise history, I believe. And yeah, it was a tough year. It's a tough year for them offensively, and I think that's of course something that they will look at this this off season. Christian Yelich hit just over 200, which you know, he won the batting title in 2018 and 2019. So you have to think going into next season, he'd figure out a way to regroup. And I think, you know, the conditions of playing during the pandemic probably affect people in different ways. So you hope he comes back strong next season. But they, I think the offense is an area they'll definitely have to address. But they did pitch well.
That was a great pitching. And as a matter of fact, Devin Williams was named the Major League Baseball's relief pitcher of the year by Baseball Digest.
He had a fantastic year. He's in the running, I think, to be Rookie of the Year. And he was a great reliever for the Brewers this year. And yesterday, David Stern did a news conference. He and the Brewers were handicapped going into the series against the Dodgers because Williams was hurt, and so was Corbin Burnes, who had been the strongest starting pitcher for the Brewers this year. And so that kind of already was a challenge playing, especially when you're going up against the best team in baseball. But yesterday, David Stearns did a press conference, the Brewers general manager, where he said, had the Brewers made the NLDS, Williams would have been able to play, he thought, and that injury doesn't look serious. So that's good news.
Yeah. And speaking of Stearns, he has a lot on his plate. And, you know, I think the payroll was like $104 million this last year, somewhere in that area. And that's just probably going to be reduced for next season. You can almost expect it, given our small market. So he's got a lot to think about.
Yeah,
because they would have lost a lot of money, I would guess.
Yeah, I always think he's really interesting to listen to, and I always am impressed by the way he thinks through things, and it does seem like a very difficult job, and one that while it would be cool, I probably wouldn't want to have. And especially this season, because the Brewers did have the last 2 years the highest payroll in team history, and it paid off, I think, in the sense that they have now sort of set their standard at making the playoffs, which you know, for a long time they didn't achieve this regularly. And so I think, you know, it's been a good few seasons, but as Craig Counsell said after game two against the Dodgers, they've now made making the playoffs the expectation, and they really need to be able to build on that and advance in the playoffs. And so that'll be their goal moving forward, but they will have to do it, I think, you know, on a lower payroll next season. Of course, because it's just, and there's still so much up in the air about whether fans will be able to attend games next year, they'll be able to play a full season. And the Brewers do make more from their ticket sales and their concession sales and things like that than they do from their TV contracts. So it's going to be a tough offseason for him. And I think, you know, also a tough offseason in the sense that it's more challenging to look at what the team accomplished this year across 60 games and to know, you know, what that would have looked like over 162 games. You can't necessarily make the same. I think he said during his news conference yesterday there weren't going to be a lot of declarative statements because sort of there's still a lot to feel out after this unusual abbreviated baseball season.
Yeah. And no Lorenzo Cain this year, and I got to believe we'd have won, the Brewers would have won at least two more games with Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have finished with a losing record almost for sure if he had been there. And only 60 games, you know, 60 games instead of 160. You know, in 60 games, somebody like Yelich can get it worked out and get hitting again. I think that's probably something to kind of for him to consider. And also 40 of the 60 games were against Central Division teams, all with really good pitching staffs. And that's something that normally isn't the case. Normally you don't have
definitely.
The kind of schedule that you normally would have. Well, here I'm hearing the music in the background, Megan. That means that we're out of time. And I'm sorry we didn't get to our callers there. But, Megan, thank you so much. Well, let's do it again next month.
Sounds good. Thanks, Larry.
thanks, Megan. Megan Hart, sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Always fun to talk with her. Tomorrow we'll talk wildlife with Scott Craven, so looking forward to that as well. In the meantime, I hope you'll stay with us because there's lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.